Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick and or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we gathered Wednesday for our Thanksgiving meal, Werner Beiersdorfer, who was kind of over all of this, gathered all of us that were going to be helping to serve the Thanksgiving meal Wednesday night. And I love what he said as he addressed us. He said, "In just a few minutes, Jesus Christ is coming." Now, you know exactly what he meant, didn't you? I knew exactly what he was talking about when he said that. It has become a lens, really, through which we look at people that are in need. Jesus was very, very clear in this very clear parable how he sees this world, how he sees his people and what it is that his people are to be doing. And if you're looking for God, where you can find God in this world. This parable has been an inspiration for countless parables or stories that have been spawned from Jesus' parable of the Last Judgment. One of my favorite I have seen in John Powell's devotional book, Love for All Seasons, it was an Irish legend, really, that was entitled The King That Had No Children. And in that story, there was a king that had no children. In other words, he had no successors to his throne. And he had his messengers to go out to all of the towns in his kingdom and post signs saying, "I would like to have an interview with any who might like to be successor to my throne. I would love to have a personal interview with any of you who think that you might be qualified for such a thing. And the qualifications are simply this: that you love God and that you love your neighbor." Well, there was a young man in one of the villages that saw that announcement, and he said, you know, I do really love God. I do love my neighbor, and I am going to go and have an interview with the king. But he said, there's a couple of problems. One is I don't have clothes that are appropriate to wear in the presence or the audience of a king, and I really don't have provisions for the long journey to get there and to get back. So he began to work and to borrow and beg and do whatever he could to get what he needed to make this long journey. And he did. And as he became, as he came close to the castle, he was walking by a man that was begging on the side of the road. And he was weak and he was obviously cold. He reached out and said, can you give me something to eat? something to drink, and his heart just went out to him. And almost spontaneously, he took the clothes that he was going to wear in front of the king and his other provisions, including his food and his money. And the needs of this person struck him so strongly that he just gave everything that he had to that beggar. And he took the beggar's ragged clothes in return. He said, you know, this is probably a wasted trip now to go to the castle to try to have audience with the king. But he went anyway. And thinking they probably wouldn't even let him in, he was surprised that he was welcomed and brought to a place where he was to wait to enter the throne room with the king. And finally he was called, and he came before the king and knelt down and said, Your Majesty. And as he looked up into the face of the king, he realized that it was the man that had been begging on the side of the road. And he said, You were the beggar that I saw coming in to town. And he said, You're right, I was that beggar. He said, Why did you do that to me? He said, Every time somebody is with the king, they are there to impress me in some way. And it's very rare that I get to see the heart of someone when they're trying to impress me. But as a beggar, I had no claims on you except what your heart itself would dictate. And he said, I do believe that you are a person who truly loves God and truly loves their neighbor. And I would like for you to start preparing now to be the successor to my throne, to inherit this kingdom. Now, that is a great story. But it, like so many stories like that, come vividly out of this parable that Jesus told, where he was describing, among many things in this parable, a great surprise from many, many people before whom the king had gathered with sheep and goats. And he told them, one, to enter into this kingdom because all qualifications have been met. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was unclothed, in need of clothing, you clothed me. And when I was a stranger, you welcomed me in. When I was sick, you took care of me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you in all of these states and come and do these things for you? And then the major words of the parable just ring out. I tell you the truth, if you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. And likewise, those who had passed by the hungry and the thirsty and the naked and the stranger and the sick and the imprisoned, and went on past without responding to their needs, were the ones that learned that when they went past, they also went past our Lord. Because in this world, if you're looking for where God is, that is where you're going to find him most. How many of us have ever felt that maybe we were in a place where God also was, but missed him in that place? James Moore has a book called God Was Here and I Was Out to Lunch. And it was based on Jacob and the story in the 28th chapter of Genesis, where Jacob had that wonderful dream where the ladder was going up and angels ascending and descending. And when he came out of that dream, he said something like that, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Jesus gave us a chance to know exactly where Jesus is in this world as we walk through it, and to have a chance to be with him and to have a chance to respond to him. And it's amazing how in some of the most simple ways we can be with our Lord as we walk through this brief time that we have in this life, and also be with our Lord eternally in the kingdom that he has prepared for us. As I think about this, I think how stark the whole image of kindness and compassion is, how central that is to the relationship that God wants us not only to have with him, but it's to be the primary characteristic of the relationship that we have with one another. And really, that's not to be something that we search for. It is something that we're to simply look around us and see the opportunities for. We can see those opportunities for one thing in our everyday work-a-day world. What we spend so much of our life doing, making a living, but in the midst of making a living, how we can make a life. Will Willimon tells in one of his books about a young man who had a chance to finish law school and was invited by one of the great law firms of the time to come and to interview for a job. Everything went great. They wined and dined. He was welcome lavishly all weekend long. As they were talking about that, they came finally to the end of the interview and talking about some of the clients that were part or represented by this law firm. And he recognized one that he knew to be a client that had taken advantage of the disadvantaged, of the poor, of the uneducated. And he just surfaced that, saying, what I know about this client is not good. I don't know that I could feel very good about representing this client. And they said, we assure you, everything that we're doing is legal. He said, it may be legal, but I know that a lot of what is taking place is just not right with that firm. And that probably was all he needed to say. When he got back, they said, "We've decided to go in another direction." And this young man was talking with Willimon there at Duke University, and he was saying that, he had had this experience with this law firm and it didn't work out. And Willimon, once he heard the story, said, "Well, I guess you're disappointed." He said, "No, I actually feel great he said, "I'm really okay, because one of the things that happened was I became very clear about what I wanted to do with my life, and more particularly what I wanted to do in a law practice in which I will be spending the rest of my life." Willimon was impressed at his confidence. He was impressed at his character. And he said, I really am a bit overcome with where you are already at this point in your life." And he said, "Do you mind sharing with me how you got there?" And he said, "Well, it's really quite easy." He said, "I'm a Christian, as you know. But I want to be a Christian that lives the way that Christ wants me to live." If it's right for Christ, then it will be right for me. I don't want to look at just what I want. I want to ask the question, what does Christ want for me? And as you look at that question very much, you will eventually come back around to this very parable that Jesus told about the ones that he cares about most in this life and the ones that he wants us to care about most as we go through this world together. I think another way that we can show such kindness is in our everyday relationships, the way that we speak to one another. I don't know about you, but I become very concerned when I see the way that people are learning to talk with one another. I mean, it's all over the television. You see it in not just the dramas that are there, but in the reality TV that is there. And you see that filtering into a lot of the relationships that are around us all, where people are just learning to be quite ugly with one another and thinking that they're doing right by being that way. James Moore said that he was counseling a couple middle-aged once, and this was one of the problems. The husband was being very, very harsh with his wife in the language that he used and had used with her for years, really. And when he was confronted with it, he said, "Listen, my wife understands. Listen, I've always had a hot temper. She knew that I could be harsh, that I could be hard, that I would say tough things. And, you know, it's always been that way. And she just knows how I am." And Moore had to finally confront him and say, "She does not know how you are, because she's in here every week. And she says to me, 'How can my husband love me when he talks that way to me?'" Oh, how we need, even in our own homes, to learn what Jesus is trying to reveal to us about kindness. Because right there across the table from you is Jesus Christ, in your wife, in your husband, in your children, in your mother, in your father. How important is it for us to see that if we really want to see Jesus in this world, we're going to have to look at those that are right there around us and in our path. And of course, the obvious way of expressing kindness is just looking at how we treat each other in this world, how we are to treat others. You know, I've often thought, you know, we're saved by grace, are we not? By grace?
We are.
We're forgiven. And I am so glad for grace and forgiveness. Alan told me right before he came in here that when he was doing the announcements one time, he just told the congregation that, "Well, I just bumped up against a word I can't pronounce." Everybody laughs, and he said, "And then they forgave me." I said, "I depend on forgiveness every week. I wouldn't get up in the morning, and I sure wouldn't get in any pulpit if I did not know about grace and forgiveness. It's all based upon grace and faith." And yet, over and over, I've come to the end of Matthew, to Matthew 25, this guy who is saved by grace, and I hear Jesus saying, you know, if you did it unto the least of these, welcome. If you fail to do it unto the least of these, depart. And you know, there's a kind of judgment there, and it's not just a judgment that comes from the king. It is a judgment that is in the very fabric of life. There's something that is supposed to happen when we are given this gift of grace, when we are confronted by grace. There is a spirit that is a part of us that makes us different It's not that grace just comes to us and lodges, and now we know that when we die, we get to go to heaven. That's not the way that grace works. Grace works through us. It is channeled through us, and there's a place where that grace is supposed to go. Grace produces grace. Love produces love. Compassion produces compassion. Kindness to us produces kindness to others. That is why Jesus hung on that cross, so that we could see how far God would go in order to be kind to us, to you and to me. But it was not to just stop with that revelation. It was to be kindness that is to then be channeled through us to all those around us that God loves. I've been seeing commercials about Big Oak Ranch. This is John Croyle's ranch here in Alabama. I remember being with John. I was playing at Jacksonville State at that time. This was 1972. Croyle was a senior when I was a freshman. He was playing with the University of Alabama, and we had this big weekend of champions in Anniston, Alabama, and he and other players from Alabama and Auburn were there to witness and to share their stories and to testify to what's really most important in their life, even in the culture of football, that there is one who stands head and shoulders above everything else, everyone else, in their lives. And Croyle was one of the best voices that I heard that weekend. And one of the things that he wanted to do was just to tell young kids, and especially boys, what it takes to be a man. He said, if you want to really be a man, look at the cross and look at the one who chose to go and hang on that cross. Because if you really want to be a man, I want to tell you, it is all about love. If you cannot love, then you cannot really claim to be a man in this world, because men who follow Jesus love like Jesus. But one of the other things that he said was when he realized all that God had done for him in Jesus Christ, one of the things he wanted to do as a hugger, he was a hugger, and he owned it, he claimed it, he liked to hug, to show his love, was to, one of the things he wanted to do was to hug God. Now, he saw how God hugged him. He was hanging on a cross with nails in his hands. And that is how God hugged him. But when you're in the presence of that kind of hug, you want to hug God back, he said. And it didn't just occur to me all at once, but over time I realized that the best way to hug God is to hug those that God loves. If we really want to hug God as we walk through this life, we will find him and we will hug him in those children of his that he loves. And by doing that, don't be surprised when you realize, when you're hugging his children, that you are looking right into the face of Christ. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we know that in this world we have a chance to have life. We have a chance to show love. And we know when we fail to do that we are failing to do the very thing you put us here to do. And we know that even when we fail to do that you've never given up on us. You've come to us with grace in all of its fullness that could be seen from the kindness showed to each of us from the cross. Lord, help us to receive that gift. Help us to say thanks by letting the very same thing that you have given to us be that which we show to others, and especially to the least of these. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.